Okay, we're going to learn to Chabur Yisrael of Tzadik Darchei Avinoah. Zeich Nishmas, the Chmani family, Rabbi Rachmani, the Mishpach, Zeich Nishmas Avinoah, Mechaim Zechon Lebracha, and also Menachem Levitz is sponsoring the Zchus of the Kedusha of Shimon, Yud and Shmuel, and all of our children. We should be Zeich Nishmas to see them go the right way.
Amen.
We're learning this Maimer from Rav Motl. There are two levels that Rav Motl is clarifying for us regarding this issue of the chumrah of Pgam HaBris. And we learn that these two areas of Yiddishkeit, V'omolach B'damai Chayi, V'omolach B'damai Chayi, the Dam Pesach, which is Emunah, and the dam of the Mila, the dam of the Bris Mila, which is Kedusha, Kedusha Yisrael, Shmir Sabris. We've been learning that these are the two psachim, the two openings into all of Yiddishkeit. And the issue of the chumras that we find in these two areas, it's not to be looked at as a punishment. It's more of an akira. It's undermining your very essence, or attempting to undermine your very existence. It's not a matter of you're getting pashed, this is a serious thing, you have to be punished. You're oiki yourself. You're removing yourself from the world that you live in. You're traveling to a distant galaxy that's not your place. And when you're away from home, bad stuff goes on. It's not in your place. A Jew be'etzim is a mamet, and a Jew be'etzim is a shemabris. That's the mitzvah of a Jew. He's a mamin and he's a shemabris. And when a person tries to make believe that he's not either of those or both of those, it's not a matter of punishment. He's removing himself from a certain godless, from a certain place that he owns in the universe, that's his place. And the same way we've been learning that by Chilul Hashem, the Rav Motl is using as an example to explain this, that when a person b'chal Shem Hashem Shemayim, when there's a Chil Hashem, the chumrah that we see also, it's not because of the issue is not a punishment. It's that a person was in a certain place, like a Talmud Chacham, that this person was respected and it was changing lives and teaching Torah and being mashpia and so on. And then some horrible news came out about him and there was a terrible nefila. And, you know, then there's this funny letter going around like the rabbi's not feeling so well, he's stressed out, he needs to take a little bit of a break. And we understand what that means. And there's a chil Hashem. And that the word chil, of course, means chalal. Chalal means what? Chalal means an emptiness, a vacuum. There was something that was filled with God's presence. He was filling the world with elokuz by his teaching, by his hashpah, by his presence. And now, it's gone. And Rav Motl is explaining that the same way when a person works for the king and represents the king, and every single thing that he does, and every word that he says, every move that he makes, is an extension of the Malchus, is an expression of the Malchus, that when that person betrays the Melech, the chalal, the emptiness, the vacuum that is there, again, it's not a matter of punishment. He's removed from his post. He's no longer in that place. That place is empty. He's no longer in that place. And as a result of that, whereas before, every single thing that this guy did, this guy that was the right-hand man to the king, everything that he did and everything that he said was negiyah to the malchus, right, and mamish, affected everything in the world. There's some guy, there was a Yid Greenspan, what was his job? I forgot, the World Bank, what was his job?
Federal Reserve Bank.
Like when this guy scratched his forehead, like there were countries that fell apart, you know what I'm saying? Well, like if someone said to him, so what do you think about China? He just leaned back and he yawned, so like a million people were out of work the next day. The Malchus is a big thing. And when a person is malchustic, and he's in a place of malchus, So then every word and every gesture has unbelievable ramifications. The removal from that position, again, it's the ikkar is not that he's being punished. Of course it's a punishment. Of course it's felt as a punishment. But that's not the ikkar. The ikkar is that the removal from that place, that demotion, that removal, takes away the chashivas. Takes away the chashivas and leaves a terrible vacuum, a terrible emptiness, where the person until now was mashpia all kinds of amazing things because he was wearing the big day amalchus, the big day amalchus of Mordechai Tzadik, the big day amalchus of Yosef Tzadik, the big day amalchus is Kedusha. Amuna, David Amalch is Amuna, Yosef Tzadik, Mordechai Tzadik is Kedusha. Those are the big day amalchus. Those are the royal garments of a Jew. And the guy's fired. And when you're fired, you hand in your credentials. You give over the begotten. Now you might go around like that's what we were up to last week at the end. We're on page dalet on the bottom, the last paragraph. You might still walk around like so. This Talmud Chacham might still walk around like quoting tzaisis and the sivuses and posing as a Talmud Chacham. But his words are now they're empty, not taken seriously. They don't affect people. So you have a person that might be a brilliant Talmud Chacham, but but as a result of his mistakes, so he's saying over the same Torahs, but it's nothing. That's the sad thing about a pogam in Amuna, when a person's poigim in Amuna or poigim in the Bris. It's not punishment. It's not kira of a loss of position, of a certain status that a person has that leaves a terrible cholol, a vacuum, an emptiness in its absence. So let's go right there. He's going to move to the second level now. Hopefully we'll get to that today. Me'ati hine me'ach she'evir as odem gadluso v'nas odem kotten. He was a great person. And now he's not a great person. I'm not saying he's evil. I'm not saying he's a Rasha. But he's not great. He's not great. Every one of us felt that at some point in life when we lost our innocence in some way. If that never happened to you, then you're still there. Ashrecha. But most people, growing up, different things that happen. And if you're a serious person, you're a sensitive person, and you when you lose that feeling of pureness that you had when you were a child, it's not so much about that you're going to get punished or you're going to get zapped. It's a feeling of terrible emptiness. It's a feeling of having lost something that you'll never be able to regain. That's a feeling. It's terrible. You were a great person, you became a kohen. Shuv koshle ador b'yosel l'achzev b'tshuva. So when the Zohar Kodesh speaks about how hard it is to do tshuva for pogam bris, it's not saying that you're horrible, you're evil, you're bad. It's saying that you left that position, and once you leave that position of godless, it's very hard to get it back. It's hard to get it back. Vav ki achein efshlo lachza b'tshuva. As the Sfarim all talk about, we're going to learn the Mitzvah Shem, many, many different mahalchim, and how to do tshuva for this chait. One can do tshuva. It's hard to do tshuva to such a degree. It's hard to get your position back. It's hard to get that position back. You could be fantastic. And in Shemayim, to have your name up in lights because you did tshuva and you have a chelik, all that good stuff. But sof kol sof, there was something that was lost. And it's very hard to get that back. The Madrigos Hakadema Sheh Oimid Bamitchilu, the Klal Gadol Huzeh, Asher Me'achas Sheh Ha'aveir Garma LaAdam Sheyarida Osam Migadlusa. Since this, in these two areas of Emuna and Bris, particularly when it comes to Bris, a person is hands in his Yosef Atzadik Ksonis Pasim. He has to return it. and he has to step down from his position of godless. Shuv kosher b'yosef she'afzal malasazu. It's very hard to get back to it. V'chazinan zos eitzel adam harishon. Now, we see this in the very beginning of time, by adam harishon. She'mitchila nechshav adam harishon ki'ish elokim. Yav hei ha'ahavah. Kol. From now on, we'll try. I wish I had the name on the thing, that we could have it done like I'm doing in some of the other shiurim, that one of the chevra just take any future things you could just get on your phone. Okay. And it's much easier like that. So I'll take care of that. See, so Ramoto says that once he says by Adam Rishon, Mitchil Natural Rishon Ki Isha Lakim. Akadekach that V'chol Abruim Rosu L'shtachvas L'fonav. Even though we don't understand what that means, the Chazal say that everything in the world wanted to be M'shtachvas with him. Kiilu is a Kiilu, whatever. He's somehow up there with the Creator. Akadekach. That was a high position. Adam Rishon had a very high position. B'kashu hu nirshal b'cheit etzadah sayizay schila Hashem gon. And we see that when you look at Chazal, especially when you look in the Zohar Kodesh, that the inyan of the chait of Adam Rishon, that chait, that mistake, whatever happened over there, the idea is again not the punishment, even though we're still suffering every moment of our lives from that, from the consequences of that chait. But it was a merdik chilasha. It's a merdik chilasha. That you had such a being, such an Adam, and he lost that place. Uchvoid shemayin nizbaza v'yoyseh etza kol ha-malachim v'chol ha-olamis. In all worlds, by all the angels and all olamis, we don't know what that means, but it was a terrible, terrible bizoy. Kovid shemayim, that Hashem Shebach made such a thing. Ma'isi yodayil hespar, that Hashem Shebach created such a being, and he, not only that, but he invested this being with a neshama. And all the animals that's in this world, and all of the malachim, and all of the olamis are looking at Adam and saying, now that's worse than any scandal that ever happened with any important figure. It's a scandal. Shomu v'chizeu isha l'kim, sh'niver v'tzelem l'kim. V'chizeu isha l'kim, sh'niver v'tzelem l'kim. This is the image of God. What are you better than us? You know better than us, the image of God. Therefore, he had to be taken from that madrega. He was irresponsible with it. He was irresponsible in that place that he was in that world that he was living in, and it's taken from him. So even though Adam Rishon did tshuva, and Chazal described it's very heartbreaking how much effort he put into the tshuva, and all of us are surprised. So why didn't the Baruch Shalom take him back? The Shemaitzer talks about this Nakdoma. Why did the Baruch Shalom take him back into Gan Eden? Well, again, he did tshuva. All we ever learned about tshuva is that tshuva works. And tshuva works to come back. You can come back. And not only that, but the Gemara says in Yuma that there's such a mega tshuva me'ahava that your aveyus become mitzvahs, you don't just nasna kezachias. I mean, and we were just talking yesterday about Shalom Shuvah. We learned from the Yishmet said that Fakir that about Shuvah, Malkam Shabbat Shuvah Oimdim, even a Tzadik Gomer is Lomata Manasik, Lomal Manasik. We were talking about by Shalom Shuvah, and at the very beginning of time, we would have, when we look back at that parish of Adam Rishon, we would have thought that Kosh Baruch would have said, come back in, and Hashem did not invite Adam Rishon back to Gan Eden. That's an upsetting thing. Why wasn't he invited back? And ever since then, people are wondering whether my tshuva really can work. If Adam Rishon would have been brought back into Gan Eden, and everything would be like it, nothing happened, because that's all we're ever taught, is that tshuva erases everything, makes everything great. So then Adam Rishon, he did tshuva. All the years, the rest of his life, he was mamish, doing crazy tshuva. So why didn't the Kosh Baruch Hu say, must speak, you know, like the story that I told you about the Chosin of Blum, put his hand on his shoulder and say, okay, come back in. It's fine, you're great, and I'm going to erase the whole parish of what happened. Let's forget about it. So it's not going to say anything about the Eitz HaDaas, what happened, and we're going to forget about it, and Hashem's box and make a Father Mechava, a Milsheva Brachas or something, and finish. Everybody's happy. But it doesn't have a good ending, Parshas Bereishis. It doesn't have a good ending. It doesn't have a happy ending. And it still hasn't ended. The misery from that. And you see that also by the Chet HaEgel, right? Because Ani Amartei Limatum Bnei HaKol Ochen Kodem Temusim, Chazal say Kodem Temusim, also by the Chet HaEgel. But no matter what, it seems that no matter what we do, we just can't set the clock, you know, back, and we can't go to the time before Chet HaEgel. And no matter what other Marishan and Chavu were doing, all the tshuva that they were doing, they couldn't go back to Gan Eden. They couldn't get back to paradise. And that is something which is at the center of the cave of the pain of the world, that other Marishan couldn't get back. Mikol Mokom, you see. Haga, Fidel Shishav, Adam Arishim, Betshuva. Mikol Mokom, Loi Chazer, Idol, Madrigas, Akademis. That's Fafalim. It's lost. And until somehow the end of time, all the Tzaras of Golas and all the Tikkunim, that somehow, at some point, all you ever learn about in the Svarim, from the time we're living in the Svarim, Gdashim, is that then it will be like Adam Arishim, Kadam Achei. But why couldn't Adam Arishim be like Adam Arishim, Kadam Achei? That always bothered me. Every piece in the Pachet Yitzchak, everything you're learning in the Ramchal and in the Gra and all the Svarim says, and then it will be like Adam Rishon Kodem Achei. But how come Adam himself couldn't be Kodem Achei? How come he wasn't able to be Kodem Achei? Lo Chozer Oido Madrigos Akademis. And you feel that way in that Inyan of Pgam HaBris, and that's why this area in particular, the kids of Mamish are falling apart. And it's at the root of the Nefilas, because even though finally there's some people that are finally coming around and saying it's okay, you know, God still loves you, there's some people that are saying true words and comforting words to the young people nowadays. You have chevra that are doing that, and you give chizik and they hear a shir and everybody's talking about, you know, it's not the fire and brimstone, you know, it's not that you're going to suffer for all of eternity in Gehenna. There are a couple of chevra that are starting to talk the lashon of chizik and the chama of pnimius of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. But what chol does when that person, after he hears the whole shir and he gets all this chaskas, he still feels that I'm not the person that I once was. I'm just not the person I once was. And you can tell him all the chazals from Hypers Morgan about you're better than you were. Just do me a favor. I'm not better than I was. You know? I'm not better than I was. He feels that, and if he's a married person and his wife knows about that, then the wife also feels that it's not the same person that I married. Even though she forgives him and she's mochalach, 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 and I love you and it's okay, it happened, and life is like that, and I know you never meant it, you never really loved that person, you only love me. Achakola diburim. If all this diburim, nobody will fool himself to think that in the wife's head there's not that thing that says it's not the same anymore. Right? Would anybody argue with that? In her head, it's not the same anymore. And if he's a little bit of a person with a chush, he could tell that it's not the same anymore. It's fafal. What about Shuva? She forgives him. I forgive you. For whatever you watched, for whoever you spoke to, God forbid, whatever you did, I forgive you. We went for therapy for 10 years. We had the best therapist. We did everything. And now we're back and our marriage is better than ever before. It's strong and it's clear, because until that, you know, before that, you were all kinds of demyonis, and finally you got that out of your system. And now they're both saying, could you imagine if this never would have happened, our marriage would never be as good as it is now, because that Boch Hashem put it out. Because as a result of that nefila, we had to work at our relationship, and now we're closer than we ever were before, right? And she says all these gewaldige things, and he says, I know, I'm so grateful to you that you know how much I love you, and it's fantastic. It's never been like this as good before as is between us. Right? She doesn't believe it, he doesn't believe it. Neither of them believe it. They don't believe it. It's true that there was a big birur that took place, and Klapei Shamayim. It's a very big inyan. And we're going to see, we're going to talk about this, because he's going to go a little bit now into Ishbis and to Apsadik without saying their names. And it was something good that happened. Lemaisa, it was something good that happened because it brought them to an honest place. And these couples that go through these things, they're some of the most honest couples in the world. Just like the boys that go through stuff, bad stuff, they work on themselves. They're the most honest guys. It's a pleasure to talk to them. They're not playing the game. They're honest. You can talk to them. Some chai to talk to these guys. Any of the chevah that drank around and they work, but when you talk to them, they're so honest. It's a pleasure. Uvechol zayis, it's not the same as it once was. That comes from Adam Rishon. There is such a thing where the feeling is, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tells you that I'm fine with you. Everything's okay. So you could say to Baruch Shalom, if that's the case, then how come you didn't bring me back in the Gan Eden? So then what's the Baruch Shalom supposed to say? Okay, listen, you know, it's fine, but you know, that place in Gan Eden is for someone that didn't mess up, you understand? Yeah, but you told me that I did tshuva, so tshuva is better than, you know, I'm even better than the tzaddik. It's like if you want to marry into a very very kosher Rebbe family, you know what I'm saying? And you're about tshuva, you know what they'll tell you? We love you, marry another about tshuva, you understand? And they mean it when they say they love you. They love you. They look up to you. We're not as good as you. We don't daven like you, we don't keep mitzvahs like you, the about tshuva. You're the highest person in the world, and the Gemara says, brachas daf lamed dalet. You're the highest, but you're much higher than us. So I met your daughter, you know, a little bit on the side. We were talking. I'd like to marry her. No. I'm an einikel from the Rebbe Meiler. My daughter comes from the Rebbe Meiler. What happened to all the, you were saying such nice things about us. And then, right, such as nice things. I'm not talking about a gear, that's already a different patch. But about Shuva. There are some people that make an exception for that, but the overall unspoken rule is we love them, we're makar of them, we love to have them by the Shabbos table, they're interesting conversations, because we ask them what all their favors you did, and all the things I wish I could have done that I never did, and I like to hear what you have to say, and then what happened to you, like what happened to you, I'm trying to get out for so long, you came in, so what happened to you, so everybody loves to have Bali Tshuva around, there's so much, they're so exciting, they're inspiring, you watch the guy down, oh wow, this is gewaldig. And then when it comes to a couple of different things, chasna, which class, which group in schools, in certain yeshivas, in Eretz Yisrael especially, which schools, right, that's not so posh. All of a sudden the Bal Tshuva is not Mokum Tzadik, and the Bal Tshuva could say, I'm on a higher level than you. I'm an Ohio Madrigal, I'm a Bal Tshuva. And he'll say, I know it says that, but you're not marrying my daughter. I thought it would be the biggest chus for you. I'm giving you an opportunity of a lifetime to marry a guy that did millions of errors. And then I did tshuva. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. And they said, no. How do you explain that? Because even though the person, the from guy, believes that he says that, he means it. He means that you're an Ohio Madrigal. When he says that about tshuva, he's not fooling. He means it. He means, I admire you, I respect you. Just, what does it mean, don't marry my daughter? It means that there is something that was lost. I don't want my daughter to marry somebody that lost it and got it back, you know? Or that never had it and then got it. I don't want that. I want it to be glad. Good. No problems. No lapses. No time off. Kilo, there is such a thing. But at least in the demyonis of people, it should be like that, straight. And that goes back to what happened with Adam Rishon, that Kivyachl, Adam Rishon himself was wondering, like, why can't they get back in? And only that, but Hashem put by the opening to Gan Eden, he put two kruvim, the mechablim, like a... You can't get back in. Lishma is derech etzachan. You can't get back in. Till Mashiach comes, nobody gets back in. I mean, in Gan Eden, in this world, there's any of Gan Eden, you know, after a person dies, but in this world, you can't. You're not going back. And you take out your credentials and you show, it says here, tshuva. So that you figure that you put it on the thing and they scan it and you go in. And they said, no, I'm sorry, you can't come back here. You're still punishing me? But it says that tshuva is accepted. So the answer is, no, I'm not punishing you. it's for fun. But how could it be for fun? That's a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's a metzias. That's for fun. And when we're talking about this sugya, it's to understand that it's not just, it's not a matter of what it says, it's a matter of also, that's of course true, but how a person feels it himself, an honest person. So Ramatl says, he's no longer carrying the thing that he works for the king in the same way. I'm not, you know, not just works for the king, but he's, everybody works for the king, but he's not right there next to the king. Same thing with the husband and wife. I forgive you. You're doing great. Our marriage is very strong. But if you're asking me, be'emes, you're not the same person I married. That's how she feels. You're not the same person I married. The chazina says, Nami ben yin cheta egel. I said before. Amen. There's a big tshuva after the Chet HaEgel. Not only that, but Chazal explained that we weren't ruining Lo Yisamayis. In other words, we didn't really intend to worship an idol. That wasn't where we were coming from. However, it's explained in Ibn Ezra, Yehuda Levi, all the Sfarim talk. We really didn't want to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Hayez Ois Bechdei, Lohar is Tshuva L'Rabim, like the Gemara says, was to open up a path for other people who make mistakes, that they could do Tshuva also, if he did such a thing, that you could also, we came back, you could come back. V'chol Zois Lechozer Aleim HaMadrega Shal HaLuchas HaRishayni Shal HaHelim Kimuchi. So, of course, we got the second Luchas. It's not like the HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the first Luchas out of Geniza, out of Seamus, and said, okay, here's the first Luchas. We didn't get the first Luchas. And we're not in the Madrega of the first Luchas. Whatever we have now is second Luchas, not the first Luchas. There's a Roshim, there's some Or of the first Luchas that we've spoken about many times. But the first Luchas, the Shiva Luchas are sitting someplace underneath there in Yerushalayim. We don't have the Madrega of the first Luchas. So Mela, we don't have Nevuah, we don't have Ruach HaKodesh in that way, and we don't have what once was. It's fulfilled. So when we did tshuva, why couldn't the Baruch Hu say, okay, let's go back. Since you did tshuva, here's the first luchas. Hashem can't put them back together. Here's the first luchas. Well, to write a new first luchas with Ezbel Akim, do everything like it was and set everything back. Why didn't that happen? V'ayinu nami mikevin shemitchila omdu madrega ani amarati elikim atem. Like it says in Tillim, that by the first Luchas, we were next to the king in such a way, like Adam Rishon, Kaidem Achay, and Yamarati Elokim Atem, and such a Madrega, Elokim Atem, Ubnei Elyon Kulchem, really higher than angels. V'odom Nala Shekezeh Haboli Dechait Harizechil Hashem Noiru. When a person on that level, in that place, when he messes up, and he sends out the letter that I made a mistake in my life, and I'm sorry that you all looked up to me and so on. That's kind of stuff. There's a chilah Hashem noir. There's a chilah Hashem noir. Lekach ovdu is madrigosam akademis. And that again, in the moshul of the husband and wife, is this, that's the chilah Hashem. Except here, it's not, even though nobody else knows about it, it's between the two of them, but there's an emptiness, there's a cholol, there's a feeling of emptiness that cannot be filled. There was something that was there that we had under the chuppah, and we were living in a certain way, and you were mechalal. You were mechalal. You desecrated it. It's just a metzias. I forgive you. And you're more wonderful of a husband than you ever were before. And your eyes, everything is 100%, you live like a tzaddik. But nevertheless, it's not the Madrega Kodemus. Now, what we're going to be talking about is it taka possible regarding Pagama Bris? Is it possible to regain that innocence, to get back to the Madriga Kadabas? We can talk about that. But we need to first understand, why is that such a serious thing? There's a bris, and the bris was violated, like husband and wife. The bris was violated. Between a husband and wife, it was violated. So now they trust each other, now she trusts him, and he's behaving, and everything is good. Second. But something was violated. It's a very interesting question in halacha, which just to mention. So what about a person, let's say you have a chashev tamar chacham, putting this out, it's a chashev tamar chacham, big person, and he was nichshel, God forbid, he did something of the nation's ish, right? And the married woman was nichshel. And he does shuvah. How do we know he does shuvah? All indications are such, and he's in touch every day with the Rebbe, with the Tzaddik, whatever it is, and he's completely changed and gone away from all that stuff, and he's a Baal Teshuva. Is he allowed to be reinstated as the Rosh Hashiva? Let's see, he was a big Rosh Hashiva. According to Halacha, is he allowed to be reinstated as Rosh Hashiva? It's a big question. It's Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, it's Yerushalmi in Hayris. It's a Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. There are chilukim that are being made, that as far as the Nasi is concerned, the Rambam says the position of Rosh Hashiva, it's a question whether or not Rosh Hashiva meant only Rosh Hashiva in those days, which meant the head of the Sanhedrin, or any Rosh Hashiva, any position of Torah, of leadership in Torah, can the person be reinstated? He's done Shuvah, and is he allowed to be once again to be brought into the position of being Rosh Hashiva? It's not so clear. It's not so pashut. There's a Radbaz on that Rambam. There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe also regarding this. In the third chelik of Minchas Asher, Rav Moshe Weiss, who we're going to have this chus to have next Monday Shabbos, in which I'm having a love of Malkin. So Rav Moshe Weiss, who is one of the biggest poskim of our generation, so Rav Moshe Weiss brings, in the third chelik, he brings both sides of this question. And in the end, he gives encouragement to the fellow, the Talmud Chacham, who wrote him the question. Doesn't say any name, of course, but in that tshuva, it was clear that this woman didn't tell anybody, and that he just was himself admitting that he did something terrible with Nation's Ish. And he asked Rav Weiss, it's clear like that from the Shaila. He was asking Rav Weiss, I did this, no one else knows about it, just this lady. No one else knows about it. Could be not even his spouse. I don't know. Doesn't say. But clearly, it was not publicized. He just feels. So since then, he left his position, whatever, and he's been working on doing tshuva. And he wants to know. He's asking advice. Can I? There is people. He's a big time hop on the family. And there is him. The people want to know. Is he allowed to return to be received? So here. So we don't have the Chil Hashem component of the Welt, right? We have just this private thing, which obviously is very, very sincere and Erlich and Baal Teshuva, because otherwise we wouldn't have to tell anybody. He would just stay like many of these people, to these phonies, that they stay in their positions, and they go on with all kinds of hanky-panky while they're going and telling everybody to turn off their computers, right? So this guy's a sincere guy, this Talmud Chacham. So advice has just like 2.5 pages, and he goes back and forth. I mean, I didn't see, I saw when the Sefer came out, I would have to look again. But because it goes back to that Rambam, what does it mean exactly? The Rambam speaks about certain positions where a person can, when he does tshuva, he is reinstated. It's not for all positions of authority. But when it comes to Rosh Hashiva, when it comes to somebody who is a public mashpia and so on, it could be, I mean, there are two tzadim, but it could be that there's a pgam, even though it's not that the whole world knows about it. But that he's no longer in that place. Could be. In the end, though, Rav Weiss does give him encouragement and tells him that if your tshuva is sincere and you've stayed away completely from these inyanim, so he does, based upon the explanation, the interpretation of the Rambam, that's to be makel, Rav Weiss does give him encouragement and tells him that he should mechazik himself and go teach Torah and to be proud of who he is and not to worry, and Hashem forgives him. He gives him encouragement. But it's not so clear in halacha. Rav Moshe was not making a certain tshuva that he wrote on this thing. which was not Mekel. It's not so clear. But there it could be there was a Chilasha. I don't remember. It might be that there already was public knowledge. It's not. It makes it much more serious already. Because then the whole world says, this person's teaching Torah to my kids or something. Lizzie, teach Torah to... I never did such a thing. Why should my kids go to this person to learn Torah from him? So you can say it, but he's about tshuva. He did tshuva. He's fasting. He's crying. He did tshuva. He's totally faithful to his wife. He left all this bad stuff. He's totally good. But still a person. But why wouldn't the island forgive him and say, so let him come teach Torah? It's the same thing like I was saying before. Why can't he teach Torah? He made a mistake. He slipped up. He did tshuva. All indications are that he's very sincere about his tshuva. He stayed out of teaching for 10 years, right? He stayed out of teaching for 10 years. And now he's being asked by some people to come back to teach Torah. So why is it that that's not going to work? Because you know that it wouldn't work. I mean, if it's public knowledge, if it's private, it could work. But if it's public knowledge, it's most likely not going to work. Even though everybody would say to him, we trust that you did tshuva. And we believe you. And we admire you. But not enough that you should be Rosh Hashiva. It's not that they're punishing him. The feeling is... something was forfeited, and you can't get it back. We respect you, and you can do everything. We'll never say another word about it. Forgive him. But don't make yourself again to a Hashiva. You understand? It's not a Rosh Hashiva. And even if he says, "Well, you're so perfect, you never made any mistake in your life," yeah, but you said, "But I'm not a Rosh Hashiva. I'm not representing the Baruch Shalom. You are." That's what we're talking about. There's a certain sensitivity. It's not a matter of halal. It's a sensitivity. You know, and the question that was asked from Rav Weiss is because it's clear from that nobody in the world knew about it. The lady was quiet, and no one else knew about it. But once the one knows about it, who's gonna? They'll forgive him, but it's not going to be back in his position. So he's no longer being able to be meshpi in such a way. And the guy's a tremendous talent, and he could say with the best shiurim, and he could inspire people all of his Torah till 120. He has tremendous things to say, fantastic things to say. Unfortunately, there are quite a few former mashpiyim, rabbanim, rosh yeshivas, not a lot, but there are people around it that are no longer doing that. And when they try to, sometimes they try a little bit to come back, so the community says, no. No. Especially when it comes to, you know, Pagama Briz. No. So we see there's such a metzias. That he's describing, that we see it ourselves, that's how things go. That what? Because of Chilas Hashem Nayir Lachach Avdu as Madrigasam Gedamis Vleichasu Adleim Af Achas Shabbat B'Tshuva Vezay Yisayt Sheyosad Agros Luseilenu. Masha Af Pishachen Yesh Makom Loshu B'Tshuva. The Gros talks about this, that even though there's a Makom to do Tshuva, Mekomakom Lav Behechach Sheyach Soi Dezela Hamayla Sheyomdu Mabitchilu. That you officially accept this about Tshuva. And your tshuva is registers. It's written down, you did tshuva. But you can't go back to the ma'ila that you once had. V'harayim me'odim rishon kana. And if you're asking a kasha, odim rishon didn't go back to Gan Eden. So you're not going back to the Yosh Hashiva. Sorry. Everybody loves you. We know that you're sincere. And we all love odim rishon, but he's not going back to Gan Eden. You're not going back to the yeshiva. Finished. B'tam ha'dovah. And the reason for this, that once you lose that prime minister, that Rosh Hashiva, once you lose that status, that it's hard to go back like a Gadlus Akademis, or the husband, you know, the status of the guy that I married, the guy on the floor, that it's hard to get back like a Gadlus Akademis. Because the chait took place by an Adam Gadol. Took place by you were a great person. You did something that's completely, completely the opposite of a great person. You see, even in America, there was a dimyon that a president is supposed to be on a certain madriga. This president is working very, very hard, but there shouldn't be such an idiot. I mean, but there were presidents before him also, not just that worked on that idiot. But, I mean, President Kennedy, it's kind of grace itself, you understand, and all who are these people, most so, I mean, they were good people, qualified people, many of them, but they were all not living lives of Kedusha and so on. But I always find, you know, no matter how many times you hear this, like, you got these all these like politicians that they had not Michael Trump because he like he had inyanim with Nikavis, right? Like, and I was like, why don't if they would just take out 15 minutes to look into this guy's life? Just look into who are you that you are pointing a finger and saying that Trump is doing these bad things, and this guy does these bad things, and whatever, what are you, a tzaddik or something? So the terrorist says, I'm not a tzaddik, but I'm not trying to be president, right? Of course, he is trying to be president. But I'm not the president. If you're the president, there's such a thing. In Europe, they don't hold that at all. You know, in Europe, it's like it doesn't mean anything. Anything short of, like, serial murder, you know, murderer, you can... And that is spelled in France, you can say that this guy, you know, has a girlfriend... The Prime Minister of France has a girlfriend. It's like, yeah, that's a madriga. And they can come together to the Simchas, the wife and the girlfriend. But America still has a little of this Indian from the Puritans, you know, a little bit from Plymouth Rock, like some residue from Thanksgiving or something. So they have this Indian that the president should be like knocky. The whole thing's such a game. It's the biggest game in the world. Kennedy was a much bigger mushkas than. It's a much bigger mushkas. But at that time, the Americans were still playing along. Is that not a nucky? Someone that's clean? Is that nucky? But the feeling is that you have a certain position and you represent the Malchus. And as somebody that represents the Malchus, then there should be an Indian of Shlemus. And if you lost that Shlemus, it's already, you're not presidential material. It's not presidential material. How is it that Clinton goes around giving drushes for $500,000 a drusha, and he's not miss Bayesh like to go up and for? That's also a wonder, isn't it? It's a wonder, but that's all because it's not because he's crazy. He's a smart guy. It's because the whole sugya of Malchus is not worth anything. It's not worth anything anymore. The sugya of Malchus has been so. Made so small, so that he's not looked up to. These people aren't looked up to as great people anymore. It's not like, the Malchus is not Malchus, and they're not great people. That's a very sad thing that happened in history. Even though it's better not to have monarchy because of all the tsars that we had in history, but that the picture of somebody that's great. You know, kids used to have when we were kids. We had people we looked up to, and I don't mean the Arabayim and stuff like that. We looked up to. Tzaddik and Rosh Hashivas. Of course, we looked up to our Rebbeim and Rosh Hashivas and so on. But there were even people like in sports that we looked up to as being like great people. And it was a very hard thing to find out when we were growing up that this is not like great people. He knows how to hit the ball. He knows how to catch a ball. But he's not a great person. But to this day, children have certain expectations. And there are many books that have been written about what's this loss of heroes. People don't have heroes. People don't have heroic people to look up to anymore. It's terrible. It's a terrible gam in the whole Bria, not to have heroes to look up to. We, Baruch Hashem, as Jews, we still have tzaddikim and something to look up to. But in the world, it's very, very hard not to have somebody to look up to. Chet nasa yidor adam godl. U'b'shasa chet, one more sentence, u'b'shasa chet, ha'yumaisev noigim b'chol oilam esel yoinim. When you're in such a position and you did something that's so terrible, you can't just say, I didn't hurt anybody. You hurt everything. Just like when somebody that's a hero does something that's disgusting, so he hurts everybody. There was a big scandal at the beginning of the 20th century in baseball, I think. There was a guy, Joe Jackson, you remember?
Black Sox.
Shoeless Joe Jackson, right? What was it, the White Sox?
Black Sox.
Right? Black Sox at that time, right? So there was an expression that came out from that, you remember?
Say it ain't so, Joe.
Say it ain't so, Joe. Because they say, I don't know if it's true or not, but they say there was a kid that when Jackson came out from the courthouse, He was a big hero of all the kids in America. And when he came out from the courthouse, there was a kid standing there that said, I don't know if it's true or not, but they say that this child said, say it ain't so, Joe. It's a shviva mamas, a shviva zakela that the children of America had. That this hero of theirs was turned out to be a liar. It's a shviva zakela. And you could say that we forgive him, and he's, but it doesn't. It's not the same anymore because there was something that was lost. That's to understand that any pagama bris is not punishment; it's losing something. Now, what we're going to talk about when we move to the second madrega, we didn't get to it yet today. When we get to it, Hashem, we'll be able to start. Hopefully, get to it next week. We work into the Reb Sadik, into Ishbitz, a little bit into that world of Pnimish, Pnimish, Rosin, De Rosin. We'll see. Is it taka possible to get back? That husband and wife under the chuppah, is it possible? That's what we think of as actually.